from ComedyFilmNerds.com with Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
All right. Welcome. That was a crazy voice.
Did we start?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
All right. That was a horrible voice to start with.
It was more of a noise.
It was more of a noise. It was more of a just a, the show's starting.
Like you're angry that the show's starting.
I'm an angry little troll. The internet. Episode 41.
It's very exciting, 41. We're past 40.
We're past...
by one.
Jesus. Thanks. Captain Obvious is on the show today.
You know, I'm really excited today because we've got a really cool guest. Well, I mean, we have a good guest.
I'm not that excited about this guest.
Okay.
When's he coming?
Our first guest, wondering when the next guest is coming.
First of all, my name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Well, Thanks for tuning in.
Sounds like you're wrapping up the show.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Sounds like a good night and good luck.
Okay, maybe I'll just say that.
Good night.
Good night and good luck.
Good night and good luck. Have you no decency, sir? Well, let's welcome our guest.
Known him for a long time.
Known him for a long time. Been friends with this guy for a long time. Done many shows with him. He used to have a pool in the valley that we used to have parties, and Paul Goebel swam naked in it.
I still do have a pool.
Is that on your...
Oh, really?
I just don't invite people over.
Oh, wow. Damn. That's right. I haven't been to that house.
Is that on like other talents on your resume? Like letting Paul Goebel swim naked in my pool?
Well, we like threw quarters at him.
Yeah, we threw quarters at him. That's probably why you don't have people over to your pool anymore.
Yeah, that's weird.
Broke his
pool filter.
Goebel did. Goebel's a filthy man. You might recognize his voice. Welcome to the nerd headquarters, Brian Posehn.
Hi.
Thanks for tuning in.
Wow, you're a cornucopia of wacky voices this morning.
Now, Brian,
those are great.
I hear Brian's voice a lot now because with children, you've been doing a lot of voiceovers. You're in the Scooby-Doo movies.
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
At least one.
Yeah.
What do you do? Who do you do in that movie?
I'm the guy at the end that gets all mad at the kids, except for my character didn't get that mad at the screwy kids.
Oh.
But yeah.
Oh, he built stuff and invented stuff.
I'm the bad guy.
Uh-oh. Are you the "if it wasn't for you crazy kids" line? Do you have
I didn't get that line because there were two villains, but I'm the one that you kind of feel sorry for at the end. Like,
it's the Magic Academy one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm kind of a nerdy guy. Like, Velma might, you know, toss him a bone.
Oh, nice. You get a hot throwdown with Velma. Sweet.
Yeah.
In the Mystery Machine?
Well, not in the episode, but you behind the scenes.
Sure.
That's going down.
That's the special features on the DVD.
Kind of bad. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're throwing a hot bone to Velma in the Mystery Machine. I like it. So what else are you doing? What else are you working on right now? Just like for our fans to know what you're up to.
Currently on Symbionic Titan.
On Cartoon Network. Cool. Yeah.
Another voice, do a couple of voices on that one, but it's been a lot of fun. It's that guy, Genndy Tartakovsky.
Oh, did Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
Samurai Jack and Clone Wars and Powerpuff Girls.
It's a crazy show. I've never seen trailers for it. Yeah, it's like
really
monsters, robots, and cool style.
Yeah, amazing style. They'll pay money and get like real songs, you know,
really?
Like they'll use stuff from the 80s in there. And it's got like this John Hughes feel to it a little bit, but it's also about like, giant robots fighting giant monsters.
Sweet.
It's these kids from outer space come and I'm their robot guide, you know, that's kind of watching over them. And I can turn into a teenage kid and then I can also turn into like this adult, like their fake dad that watches over them. But then the three of us become like a giant robot.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it's like they're basically living in like Shermer, you know, like in Illinois, you know, that kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
So it's following the John Hughes thing.
Yeah. Get up on the mic and suck it.
All right.
Well, that's cool. All right. Well, let's get into some shout outs.
Yeah. Oh, shout outs. And then we have one issue with the site right now I wanted to mention.
All right. We'll do that first.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do the bad part first.
We'll do the bad part. What happened?
We're having an issue with the short film download. So don't buy any downloads right now. We're working on it. It should be fixed in a couple of days. But we're in the process of upgrading the cart, which right. means it's broken.
Okay.
So that's kind of, you know, that's code for computer programmers right. is upgrading broke.
Broke. So
as we were upgrading it, then it broke a little bit, but only for a couple of days. So if you download a movie, just wait a couple of days.
Yeah. Anything else you can buy, no problem.
Yeah.
The film download.
Physical products, fine. Punching the Clown, fine. Anything. Yes. Graham Elwood gift pack, fine. Chill fine. Pack,
autographed underwear from right. Brian Posehn, done.
Who autographed it?
I stole your underwear and I autographed it. Is okay. that weird?
Yes.
Yeah.
I put Graham on one side and Elwood on the other.
How much are those going for?
Like $8. We can't.
So I need some new underwear. Yeah. Or old underwear.
And the rest we'll donate to Smile Train.
Yes.
That's not a real thing.
Oh, yeah. I keep up, you know, I'm the accent auction thing. I'm sorry. We just haven't been able to figure that out.
But we will. We're working on it.
I know you say that.
No, you
episode.
Sounded like you gave up. You
no,
didn't.
I'm not working on it. Given up. I have mm-hmm. not given up. So those are the shout outs.
That's pending.
That's pending. Yeah. So thanks to everyone. Shout outs who've just been listening. We've been getting cool emails and all your emails, we appreciate them. And then any sort of iTunes, you know, when you guys go on iTunes and put positive comments and shit like that, obviously it ups our ratings.
And we're on the second batch of Punching the Clown. The first batch sold out immediately from you guys.
Thanks
really
for supporting Henry Phillips' movie. It's a really cool film. So you're supporting an independent filmmaker, which is rad. So let's get into it.
Yes.
Season of the Witch.
Man.
I saw maybe 30 minutes of this movie.
Which 30 minutes?
Didn't matter. The dumbest. They're all dumb. I just saw the first 30 minutes where, okay.
Did you walk out?
Yeah, well, I knew it was going to be stupid, so I saw that, and then I went and jumped into Blue Valentine.
Oh, wow.
So Season of the Witch, it takes place during the Crusades, so... Nicolas Cage is trying to do like a right, you know, like accent-y thing.
Does he go hello?
What's his hair doing?
He's
acting in a different direction.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like literally like Sorcerer's Apprentice goes back in time. But then Ron Perlman said, "I don't do accents. I'm in a biker TV show that's really good. Fuck you. I'm not going to do accents." And so there's this montage of them of all the crusades that they fought in. And it's all this like shoulder to shoulder wacky banner in sword fights, like
which would of course be impossible because the Crusades were a little far apart.
Yes,
than each other.
And Ron Perlman actually says, "Oh, go to hell" to somebody. They walk away from this. Uh-huh. Goes, "Go to hell." Really, they talk like that in the 1400s in the Crusades. They
eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah,
exactly. People don't say that.
Don't go there. Like I was waiting for him to like talk to the hand, Bishop. You know, it was so dumb. It was so ridiculous. And
wow. I have to see it.
You have to see it because it's honestly like I was kind of like, man, I really want to go see Blue Valentine because it's getting an Oscar buzz. But I was like, I really want to stay and watch this entire movie because I know. It'll be so ridiculous and stupid that it'll be fun to watch. Like, I really want to go see Country Strong because I hear that's just like laughable how dumb it is.
Ugh.
But
I can't do it. I've already been dealing with my wife screaming at the TV every time the Country Strong teaser comes on. She's like, Gwyneth Paltrow is not a country singer. And just
how about that part when Gwyneth Paltrow goes, "And that's how it's done"?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not done that way. But anyway, Season of the Witch, and Neil has a review.
Neil has a very long review, and he pretty much called the movie a cinematic death shroud.
It's like I'm watching this, and literally, I had just watched the night before. I got Kick-Ass.
Oh well, yeah, you can't watch.
And
those
I'm just
back
like, I just was like, I wanted to scream, Nicholas, stop starring in movies. Just do what you did in Kick-Ass.
He needs an intervention.
Yeah. Oh, so and good. Honestly, like Kick-Ass is so amazing. He's so great in it. The
so
acting
great.
Choice he makes in it is so amazing.
Yeah.
That scene where he's been getting set on fire and he's telling his daughter like how to take them out.
Yeah.
And the relationship with the daughter is amazing. And
well,
then
his first scene was amazing. What are you shooting at?
Think about that.
That movie's perfect.
His movies get so, like, Bangkok Dangerous, Sorcerer's Apprentice, and now this. It literally makes me go, oh, God, I wish he would do another National Treasure. Like, right. That's how bad they are. They want more National Treasure.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And I like Nicolas Cage. I've always liked him. You know, it's like, I'll go see him in anything, obviously.
Yeah.
I love how he's competing with his crazy hair in every movie. Yeah. Though,
like, and now he'll be in everything.
He's having a crazy off with his...
with his hair.
Bird hair.
I know. He's like, he's obviously just like flat out bald. And he's just trying to put on new weeds.
He's going for like Bozo the Clown at some point. It's just going to go all around.
I'd rather watch him do that. It would be more interesting than shitty accents and swords.
I think we've got a Ghost Rider 2 to suck on.
No.
I think there is a sequel to that piece of
man.
Garbage. Why? Like, who saw the first
one? Well, he must be producing
it. Other than me as a joke.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't... That was one I couldn't sit...
So they know their entire box office is ironic?
Yeah.
They don't care.
The season of the witch will be
Still buys ironic dollars.
And irony.
Yeah. And ironic dollars still buy Coke. So
and then you hear whatever, he doesn't want to leave his house or whatever that crazy thing was. Like
Well, you know,
suck it up and take the foreclosure, bitch. You lost out.
Like, that season of The Witch, I mean, Neil said it was probably one of the worst movies he's ever seen. And Neil's seen a lot of shitty movies. And I was thinking about this movie, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let me show you this trailer. There's a trailer for a movie that hasn't been released yet called Solomon Kane. Are you aware of that one?
No, but is that a...
It's a Robert E. Howard character. Robert E. Howard created Conan. And the original stories are like nasty, visceral, really brutal, bloody, until Hollywood kind of got a hold of him. And this is one of his other characters. It's about a Puritan that basically kills monsters and demons.
Amen.
And I'm watching the trailer. I'm like, is this kind of what Season of the Witch should have been? And Neil's watching. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of what it should have been. It's got Pete Postlewaite in it, James Purfoy? I can't remember his last name.
Is this really Pete Postlewaite's last movie was Season of the Witch?
No. Solomon Kane.
Oh, okay.
And this movie, which looks 1,000 times better than Season of the Witch, cannot get a domestic distributor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's being shown like Gorilla, like Alamo Draft House and a couple other places that they can't get distribution.
Well, this
for
is the thing, and we've said this on the show before, is if you're going to go see this movie, ironically... buy a ticket for something else and sneak into it. Like, you know what I mean?
Buy
a
ticket for True Grit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, why do these keep... It's like what's his name? Rupert Everett went nuts in an interview and got Jennifer Aniston. He was like, once you're in that inner circle, they just keep letting you make one stupid movie after another. He basically said that about her in an interview.
That made it on the air?
Might have been a radio interview in England or something.
Did he get
that?
A bunch of little red dots on his chest right after he said that?
But, like, I think this is what this is. This is just Nicolas Cage can still make whatever he wants. Like,
yeah, but if you don't encourage the crap, then you won't get to enjoy the crap. They'll stop making crap. Then where will it be?
Yeah, I know. Just watching good movies.
Podcast full of guys talking about stuff they love. I really like this. So I like it also. Things are great.
As long as there's Big Mama's House movies, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're right, Brian.
Goddamn crap. Being all crappy.
Great point.
Yeah.
Brian Posehn makes a great point here.
Can have Social Network without Country Strong.
No, you can't. You can't. So let's go. Well, we were just talking about... did anyone here see Country Strong?
No, not yet.
No.
I can't do it.
I know. I
and we get in free, and it's hard to go.
I know. It's... I get the feeling like after Crazy Heart came out, like Gwyneth Paltrow or her people went, we got to make this happen.
You got to make a female version of it.
You know?
They have to stop letting stars make movies about their hobbies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I know. It's like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Are you trying to say that Matthew McConaughey's Surfer Dude wasn't a cinematic piece of gold that literally...
I didn't see that.
Oh, you want to know why you didn't? Because it never made it into the movie theaters.
Yeah.
Like, they were paying you to take a DVD off their hands.
Wow. Yeah, it stars, you know, it goes beyond a vanity project. A vanity project is like, you know, when Robert Duvall makes a movie. You know, he kind of pays for it, and they're actually kind of cool. It's not like... you know, him being a surfer or anything. He actually...
I want to see Robert Duvall surf.
Nobody writes it, and
he's an actual producer, and there's something to it. And but you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, I know that's exactly. I agree with you guys. It's like, oh, I want to be a country music singer.
I feel like
somebody paid to make this movie for me.
It's like, you know, you. It's like whatever.
That's how it's done.
You're the kid in the neighborhood, and you get your brother's hand-me-down skateboard, and you work at it and bust your ass and become really good at it. And then Gwyneth Paltrow's the little bratty rich kid, like, I want a skateboard, and she gets like a $500 Ed Hardy skateboard, and she sucks at it, but she gets to go to the skate park because her dad bought it or something like, you know what I mean? Like, and you got to wait in line with your brother's hand-me-down skateboard, but she's like, I want, and she sucks at it and is horrible, and she gets to do it and you don't.
That's so what you're saying is you want a skateboard.
I want her to buy me a skateboard. Yeah. You hear me, Gwyneth Paltrow?
Buy Graham a skateboard immediately.
And I just started liking her because of Pepper Potts, too. Like,
I
never name a Gwyneth Paltrow movie that I would be excited about. Like, she hasn't done one yet. Other than
that's a
being
great
in
question.
The two Iron Man films.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I liked her in the Iron Man movies. And
I'm not trying to answer that question. I don't think I can.
I'm sitting here trying to think.
That's girl stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty much across the board, right?
Yeah, it's all girl stuff.
But not like romantic comedies, but...
Like, yeah, running through the woods and I'm crying or something like that in a dress, isn't it?
Well, if you had a big dude chasing her, I'd watch that.
In an 18th century dress, is that... Wait. Yeah.
Woman running through the forest crying, yeah.
But a big dude chasing
somebody
her.
Scary behind her. I'm in.
A guy with fists that are axes. Let's do it.
Here's my money.
Yeah.
Make movie now.
Did you see the new Axe Fist movie?
Axe Fist 2. The Forest.
Yes, versus Jason.
Axe
versus
Fist goes
Freddy.
To the mall.
So what about Blue Valentine? You sat all through right. that?
You and I both saw this, right?
I saw the whole thing.
Okay, I'll start with you. You know what? You tell me your thing first, and I'll tell you why.
It's what's his fuck, right?
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, that
yes.
Guy.
What's his fuck? Yeah, starring what's his fuck and that one broad.
He hasn't done any guy movies either. He's done like The Notebook, right? And
he did that. What was that one movie he did where he was like a skinhead or something like that? Early on in his career.
No, he just did a really good one where he was a teacher. Oh, man, I can't remember. Our intern's not here to look it up. But he played a teacher. It was really... He did a really good job of it. Okay. This is the kind of movie, Blue Valentine. You hear kind of a lot of hype about it, as we did. And it's... I didn't like it at first. I'm watching this movie. I'm like, it's shot cinema verite style. Like, it's supposed to be real. Minimal music. Minimal everything. Extreme close-ups. Like, you're right there with them, which is not really necessary. But... this movie has a slow burn that wins you over. It's actually a really good drama if you kind of give it the time to kind of let it win you over, because at first it's like, well, this isn't that good. And the reason it wins you over is because of Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams' performances. They're amazing. But then it's like, it's this weird kind of thing where we got to spruce up the story a little bit. So they kind of fuck with the editing, where it's like goes back and forth. It's like, okay, here's where they were in love. Here's present day. Here's where they're fighting. It's like... it's like watching Revolutionary Road if it were a lost episode. That's what this movie is kind of like. But it, like I said, it slow burns. It wins you over. It really, you kind of feel it. And the thing that really hits home towards the end, probably right before you walked out, is we all kind of know that person, that the only thing they have in their life is a bad relationship and they can't let it go. And that's the kind of thing where it really kind of makes it relatable. And it was really, if you got to see this all the way to the end. And it's a good movie because of them, because of their performances. I can see them getting acting nominations. I don't really see anything for directing or writing. But the thing about it is that Ryan Gosling elevates any movie he's in. Like, if you read that script, I'm like, oh, it's okay, kind of a drama, you know. But he makes it better. Even Michelle Williams really makes it better. And did you find that movie that he was the...
No.
He was the school teacher in, because that movie had a terrible script, but he actually made it really good. I mean, that script was so bad that it ended on a knock-knock joke. That's how they ended their movie. And let's see.
Any of those movies?
Half Nelson.
Half Nelson.
Yeah. So, but he made that movie really, really watchable. So this is the kind of movie you see for the performances. That's my conclusion.
You know, I think he's an interesting actor. I like Michelle Williams, but I just, to me, I was in this movie and I was just like, yeah, it's a shitty relationship. You know what I mean? Like,
get out.
Yeah. My reaction to it is the reaction I would have to that friend of mine who's in it. Right. Just be like, just shut up. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yesterday, she either break up with her or don't talk to me about it.
Right.
I don't care.
I haven't seen this, but that's, if you compared it to Revolutionary Road, that movie drove me insane. Because from the beginning, I was like, these people hate each other.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, divorce.
Yes.
The one thing
I know it wasn't a huge thing in the 60s, but it existed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. The one thing
you've heard of
this movie did better than Revolutionary Road is that, that was actually a great point. Revolutionary Road was nothing but a steady decline. It's like it got worse and worse and worse until you just wanted the movie to end or you want to hang yourself. Where this movie actually jumped back a little bit, which is the marks of kind of a better drama where
doesn't it
show
open
the happy
with them
parts?
Trying to get back together like in a hotel room? Or something like
that. No, that's kind of more in the middle. Yeah. It's more like you kind of see the ups and downs, so it gives you the chance if you want to root for him a little bit, but most people, they kind of know how it's going to play
out. And here's the thing I will say, like they're good actors, and there's some very cute little moments and funny moments.
Fair amount of nudity.
Michelle Williams, man.
Yeah.
And
did you see his penis?
I saw Ryan's Gosling.
No, seriously.
Did you see his half Nelson?
Does Ryan pull his penis out?
Yes, he does.
I'm going to write it down in my notebook.
God, that is creepy.
That is like, a creepy voice.
If I just heard that voice.
I'm just wondering if he showed his penis or not. I don't know why.
You sound like an NPR DJ that's a closeted gay dude.
Yeah.
Which is your new show?
Which is the day that he's coming out? Yeah.
I bet you're all wondering why I talk about penises all the time. Okay, I have some things to tell everybody.
This show is brought to you in sponsorship by Standard Oil and The Advocate.
No, but here's the thing: like, I felt like I was back in acting school. Just watching long acting exercises, like, and I was like, okay, I get it. Like, it's, you know, Ryan Gosling is a good actor, but he's so many scenes in this. He's like acting. You know what I mean?
They were because they were improvised.
A lot of those scenes were improvised. Obviously, they were doing a lot of improvised scenes, which was nice. But I just felt like I know this relationship is not going to work out. I was in acting class watching a long improvised scene. Like, I just...
Okay. With Ryan Gosling
and
Michelle Williams.
All these things you're saying is what kept me from watching.
Of course. Yeah. Like,
that's what I anticipated. Like, just saw, you know, and then heard the buzz and went, that's not for me. I don't want to spend my hour 45 doing that.
It's kind of why when I saw, what's the other one? Rabbit Hole.
That I liked. And it was a big acting exercise, but there was something about it I enjoyed, and I connected with the story, being a parent, you know, losing the kid. Like, that's obviously, the worst thing you can imagine. And I thought they both played it really well, Eckhart and her. I thought they both made really great choices, and that's like the most I've liked her in a long time, outside of the others, Nicole Kidman.
Right.
I mean, that's my favorite thing she's done in a long time. But
when you say that, you don't mean the other movies. You mean
the others. That's my favorite Nicole Kidman flick.
Like, I did like Rabbit Hole better than Blue Valentine. And the one couple of problems, I don't know, like, and maybe this is because I'm a freak.
Did you see all of Rabbit Hole? Did you watch the whole entire movie or just 20 minutes and then?
No, I saw all of the Rabbit Hole. I saw the whole thing. And when a couple scenes when Aaron Eckhart got really mad, I just was like, God, he sounds like Harvey Dent. He was just like, I'm getting angry. Like, and it just felt a little too forced. But I mean, I like him. But that movie, I could get on board with all of the problems they're having because of, like you said, the subject matter. Like, these, I mean, I can't begin to imagine what losing a child would be like, what it would do to a marriage. I can't begin to imagine what that's like and see these people, how they deal with it and the group therapy, and Sandra Oh's great in it.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. Blue Valentine, I'm just like, you're a couple of kids that got married that shouldn't have. And
what's great about it, I thought it set up some things that could have been hacky, the Rabbit Hole. And they didn't go to these hacky places. Like, they could have had those guys cheat on each other.
Right.
Which is what happens in, you know, every movie
now. Was that limited release? Because I couldn't find Rabbit Hole around
here.
Yeah,
it was limited release.
Is it coming wider now?
Or? I wanted to see that
one,
too. I'm
sure once it gets, when the nominations come out January 25th, if it gets some, then it'll go really
wide. Did you guys see Kids Are All Right?
Yeah, I saw Kids Are All Right.
That went to a hacky place, I felt.
Yeah, yeah.
And it started off, I was like, hey, I might like this.
Yeah.
You know, on paper, I was like, oh, God, Annette Bening and her, that is going to be miserable. You know, like, you know, that's just what, really. But, and then I watched it, and I like Ruffalo, and I like the kids, and I thought Bening and her played this great relationship, and it reminded me of people I know in L.A. And Bening kind of being, you know, driven and you know, all about work and kind of not thinking about the relationship anymore. Right. And I know people like that. And that was good. And then it goes to a hacky place. I won't give away where it goes. But, you know, when she hooks up with Ruffalo and that, you know.
Yeah.
I
know.
I saw it coming a million miles away. It doesn't make sense. It shouldn't happen. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
They didn't earn it, I felt. And then it was made me not enjoy the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Like, I think that was when I saw that film, I did feel like, oh, like, I liked the premise of, like, how would, you know, lesbian parents and every kid, be they adopted or test tube baby or whatever, they're going to want to know. They're going to want to know. And how is this dealt with? Okay, let's see it. Let's see how it's dealt with. And I do agree. I was like, oh, well. You know, goes hacky, and then Mark Ruffalo was just like, you know, like...
Everybody was good in it.
Yeah.
Everybody, like, committed to their characters, but...
So it was more kind of the script went in a hacky place?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. The script went in a hacky place, and it's getting a lot of Oscar buzz. I mean, of those three, I would say, story-wise, I would say Rabbit Hole's the best.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I didn't see Blue Valentine.
But Blue Valentine, I mean, Gosling and Michelle Williams could get...
They were great performances.
They could get nominations. They're really good performances. It's the script and the story is just kind of like meh for me.
Yeah, you're not really watching that movie for the story. It's really the performances. And that's another movie where, and Ryan Gosling, the performances elevate the material.
So what other, like, let's get into a little bit, like, what other Oscar contender movies have you seen that you're like got a boner for or whatever?
I got a lot of screeners this year, so more than any other year before this. Like, I always get screeners, and we got a shitload this year. And I've waded through most of them. I really liked, and I don't know if you know this, but I do not like Jim Carrey. Like, never made me laugh.
Right.
Even like the movies that people like him in, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, when they came out, I went and saw them with everybody else, and... did not enjoy them, did not laugh. The one scene in Dumb and Dumber, the original, that makes me laugh, he's not in. Like, and so I've never been on board with him. I liked him in Eternal Sunshine.
Right.
And that like kind of made me turn around a little bit. He's like Robin Williams to me, where he can be good, but if he's doing his
thing
bullshit, I can't watch.
Right.
If he's making those faces... and being super
he's doing
broad,
the mask.
I just can't do it. And whatever movie he's in. That said, I really dug this new thing. I love you, Philip Morris.
That's exactly what Susie Nakamura's review said. Look, I know everyone hates Jim Carrey, but listen, this movie's really good.
Holy shit, it's good.
Yeah.
And he just, I guess he makes some faces and does some, like there are some broad moments, but not like his other shit. It's pretty grounded, and the character is not like any character you've ever seen him play. He's this fuck-up loser, you know.
Who's a psychotic
cunt. He's insane.
He's nuts. Yeah. He's out of his fucking gore.
And he's really good.
Yeah.
And he's really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
based on a real guy.
Something kind of sad about him more so than any, you know, most of his characters are kind of middle of the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I first I saw that movie, and I saw it with Susie Nakamura, who wrote a review of it on the site, if you want to read her review. And she's got a great review on it. And the thing to me, I went in kind of very similar. Like, I think I liked Ace Ventura in those movies when I saw them. If I were to watch them today, I would be like, no.
I was with Brian. I never liked them when they came out either. I was like, why is everybody going crazy over these movies?
I mean, I liked them on In Living Color. But then, even then, it sort of deteriorated into him just, I'm the fire marshal guy, yeah. Like just doing like
face
wacky
acting is yelling and making a face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like his like, oh, I gotta win an Oscar, like The Majestic and all of his trying to
Truman Show.
You know, I did like Truman Show. I did like him in Truman Show. But when I was watching Philip Morris, I was like, my first instinct was, oh, he's being too wacky in this scene. And then I was like, you know what, though? A guy, this is based on a true story, and a guy this crazy, I don't know who else, you would have to get somebody like Jim Carrey to play him. And reading in the press kit that they gave you, because we got to go to a press screening, the filmmakers were like, Jim Carrey. And that told me, then I was more on board with the movie after knowing that, as opposed to Jim Carrey reading the book about the guy and going, I want to play this. I'm country strong.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that what sort of made me go, this works. And there's a couple scenes in there.
I'm
like,
gay con man strong.
I'm gay con man strong. I want to sing. Give me boots. So that was where I was like, oh, and after watching the movie, reading that, and even discussing it with Susie, made me kind of had a similar opinion that you're having of like, yeah, he kind of works, because this guy actually did this shit. He broke out of prison. He fucking flat out
multiple
lied.
Times.
He was on. He was conduct. He was in trials. Like, he was a litigating attorney. Just fucking crazy. Like, you have to be nuts. And I thought he was great. You know, and the relationship with Ian McGregor was.
Do you think there's any truth to, like, sometimes actors are so good at a part because they are basically that part? Like Piven on Entourage. Like, everybody talks about how he plays this cocksucker. And then the thing that you hear about if you live in Los Angeles is he really is a giant cocksucker. That's why he's so good at playing that part. Do you think, like, Carrey is good at playing a crazy fucking asshole? Because he is
asshole? I think because you – to me, it's the body of work. Like, there's certain actors that can –
but there'll be certain parts where they really click with and it's almost like, oh, that's him.
Right.
We just saw a glimpse. He's out of his fucking mind, and that's why he's so good in this part.
I think so. Maybe. I mean, I think like why I liked him in The Truman Show was, you know, I think Jim Carrey is probably sort of just know what I know about him. I don't know him personally, but he sounds like he's kind of a crazy, tormented guy.
Right.
And he had to hide behind this happy face in The Truman Show, which was so this like fake veneer. Which is what that show was showing you—the whole fake veneer of reality TV and all that stuff like that. And
it's a big creative fight about the beginning of that movie too. And
in the Truman Show,
yeah, because the book you learn as he does what's really going on, whereas the movie, the light falls out of the sky in the first scene where you know. So, which would have been a much more compelling movie if you're learning like what he was learning. But you know, studio execs, people won't get it. We have to let them know right away.
They're all dum-dums like we are, so we'll make a movie for dum-dums. Good idea. You have good ideas always. Thank you. That's why I'm the boss and you're not.
Oh, dummies. Like, I'm sure, as you know, as a comic, when you hear the dumb executives in L.A. say crap like, well, this will never play in the middle of the country. Yeah. You're like, no, it does. My act plays everywhere.
You'll never play in the middle of the country.
No. You know where I do well? Peoria. Peoria's awesome.
Peoria, I kill. You and I played Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Weekend full of fucking awesome shows.
You know what? It's weird in the middle of the country. They get the internet and television there. Yeah. Isn't that weird? Yeah. And they get books there, too.
They're not shallow fucking latte drinking fuck sticks.
No.
You know what I mean? No, in LA or New York. Like,
right. It's... No, I knew who you meant.
I was explaining that to our audience.
Now, Brian, even though the screeners, the Oscar movies aside, you're a big horror guy. And you said there's like a new trend in horror now, which actually is a good trend.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a trend yet, but I'm noticing.
Baby trend?
Saw this movie, Babysitter Wanted. And then saw another flick, House of the Devil. They both came out in 2009, and no one talks about them, really. Well, you know, I guess if you go to the Horror Nerd websites, but I don't anymore. So I just kind of found them on my Netflix,
Are you in recovery from the 12 from nerd?
No, I just don't really do that stuff. But and then a guy on Twitter recommended Babysitter Wanted after I was like talking about how much I loved House of the Devil. And this guy was right. They are really similar. And what I love about them is they're retro. They feel like 80s horror, but not like they're not like hitting you over the head with it. And they're the right things about 80s mm-hmm. horror. And Hatchet kind of went for that. Did you see Hatchet a couple years ago?
Mm-mm.
It was a slasher film.
Then the
Adam
sequel
Green.
Got pulled out of theaters like instantly.
Yeah, I didn't see Hatchet 2 yet. But Adam Green, I didn't love Hatchet, but I love his other movie, Frozen. But Adam Green was going for this, he was trying to make his own Freddy or mixed with Jason and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And it just, for me, didn't work. But these other two movies, House of the Devil is trying more to do... Well, it's...
What are the premises of the movies?
I can't give away too much. they both basically start the same way, Babysitter Wanted and House of the Devil. Both start with cute young 18-year-old girl, gets a babysitting job, goes to a house out in the middle of nowhere in both stories.
Creepy house.
And they're both creepy, and the people are creepy, and then... That both stories go completely bug fuck from there and go in places really, both movies really original places. The twists. I saw the twist in the second one in Babysitter Wanted. I saw it coming, but you know when a movie, you figure it out, but you still enjoy it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
like
sure.
That's how I felt about this. Like I didn't go... Oh, fuck, it's this. like I kind of did that in The Orphan, mainstream horror last year. Mm-hmm. Like, I figured it out. I went, this is what it is. And then, okay, I'll watch another 45 minutes and see if I'm right. But right. I didn't really enjoy it. But
no
these
one did.
Two movies, yeah. House of the Devil, I don't think I saw that twist coming. That... movie is really stuck with me. It's really nuts. Both these movies are, if you're a horror geek at all, or even if you just like horror and haven't seen it done well in a long time, which it hasn't been, and they both rule. And then Frozen is a totally different thing. Have you seen Frozen?
No, that's where they're stuck
on
the chairlift
movie.
Fucking awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I thought that was going to be dumb, but
yeah,
I mean, I'm not a big horror guy.
It's
like
open
it.
Water 40 feet above the snow. You know that movie Open Water?
Yeah.
Which I love that. Like I was in, as soon as I hear the premise, hour and 45 minute, hour and a half movie, people stuck at sea.
Sharks.
Real true story. Frozen isn't a true story, but it's one of those things that could happen.
Sure.
And like just the premise I fucking love. The kids get on a chairlift, ski place closes, and they're stuck there for the weekend. And it just goes in a really cool place. Again, super original, doesn't go like the hacky place.
Right.
And
until the Yeti came out.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
No, but you got to see all three of those movies. And I wish I could talk about
it
more
I didn't like Open Water. I felt like it was like.
I didn't love it. I liked the idea of it more than this movie, Frozen.
I'll give you that. I like the idea of Open Water way better than the actual movie because the movie is like, okay, well, now you're just using. Camera tricks to hide the fact that you didn't have any money to shoot this film. And you kind of see through the veneer very quickly in that movie.
Yeah, I didn't like the actors really in Open Water, if I remember correctly. And I remember they play some of those intense moments pretty well. Like, you would be arguing about petty things if you're about to die.
Get eaten by a shark.
Getting cranky with your wife when you're about to die. I'm sure.
Frozen, did you leave the heater on?
Yeah. No, but Frozen, I don't know these actors really, but they were all really solid performances. And there's really only, three people in the whole entire movie, basically, because they're... And it's, for being outside, it's really claustrophobic. The idea mm-hmm. that they're just stuck in this thing, just hanging above it's a cool premise done really well.
Right on. Right on.
So I have
second opinion on Frozen.
I have like hope for horror lately, and I haven't for a long time. But then I started to see a couple good things. Descent was good a couple years back.
Yeah, I agree.
That was British.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Severance was really good.
That I didn't see.
Severance is basically people in the office, well, the original version, the British office, go on a retreat, and hillmen, men that live in the hills, start fucking with them. It's fucking awesome.
Hill people, they're all, you can't trust them in any continent.
Even in
the,
over there, they're nuts.
Even
too.
At a corporate retreat.
Yeah.
Where you go, buddy.
But now, what coming down the pike, are you, anything you're looking forward to?
What is coming down the, no, I don't know. The Green Lantern looks like a turd.
You know what it does? I saw an extended trailer for that at the trailer guy's house.
All you had to do was and it say looked four awful. Words to me to know that's going to suck. Seth Rogen, superhero?
No, that's Green Hornet.
That's Green Hornet.
We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Green Lantern
is Ryan Reynolds. As all Green right. Lantern.
Green Lantern all in right. the Dracula bodysuit. Remember when... remember the Dracula movie where he had that armor that was all like sinewy at the beginning? I'm like, what was the point of that? And then it's the same exact thing. Ryan Reynolds' costume that looks nothing like the comic book is all like weird sinewy. I'm like, oh, well, that's just weird.
What like
I want to see his skin and
before we
tendons.
Move on here, real quick, what like horror directors are you sort of keeping your eye on?
That's a good question. Well, and it ties into your question of what I'm looking forward to. A buddy of mine, Joe Lynch, he did a movie, he did Wrong Turn 2, and he did a good version of, you know, a good job doing like a sequel to not a great movie.
Right.
Now he's doing his original thing, and there's a little bit of money behind it, and he got a great cast. He got the Ryan Kwanten from True Blood. He got Peter Dinklage.
Oh, yeah.
And Steve Zahn are the three main characters in this movie called Knights of Badassdom. And I haven't seen anything online yet. It is awesome. I read the script. And I want to play in a small part in the beginning.
Is it a horror comedy?
Yeah, it is.
It is, okay.
And it's for this podcast, like horror movie nerds. It's basically the premise is three LARPers, you know, they play D&D, but outside in the forest.
Oh, this sounds awesome.
Those geeks.
I'm on board. Yeah, that's all you have to say. I'm on board.
About LARPers,
yeah.
Man.
Basically, they get like a Necronomicon, like a Book of the Dead kind of thing, you know, that you've seen in movies. But it's real, and they summon up real demons while they're out LARPing. And instead of playing, you know, against a fat nerd in a demon costume, there is an actual fucking demon trying to kill all these nerds. And it goes nuts, and it's really cool.
When it's done, why don't you and the director just come on, and we'll
have... Yeah, I'll definitely talk to Joe. Yeah, he's a good buddy of mine.
That'd
be
great.
And we'll help promote it.
He's one of those guys that... I think this will do it. Like, and people will see how talented he is. And a Wrong Turn 2 is worth checking out. Like, especially, if you're doing some traveling, pull it up on Netflix and check it out. Cause the gore's
good.
You're
on a plane.
And,
yes.
And Henry Rollins pulls in a badass performance.
Oh, hilarious. Is he a cop?
Wrong Turn 2 is not a great movie, but there's some cool moments.
Sure.
But you kind of see, oh, this guy, I think he knows what he's doing. And he was already a friend of mine, but you know how, like, when your friend's in a shitty band.
Yeah.
Or you know they're going to be shitty, and then you your friend's in a band, and you in your head, like, oh, this is going to suck. And then you go, and they're like, yeah. And then you have to go, hey, that was awesome, buddy. You know, it's the same thing when they direct movies or act and stuff. And so I didn't know. And then Wrong Turn 2, I was like, hey, man, that was pretty good.
Right.
You know, nice job. But this thing, I haven't even seen it yet, but the script is amazing. And just
the fact that
he got this cast. I did it about 2 months ago. I know they're looking for their spring, summer.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, well, let us know, man. We'll promote the shit out of it.
Yeah. Knights of Badassdom.
Knights of Badassdom. Look for that.
Like it already.
All right, so let's move on to DVD coming out.
Yes. Social Network.
I loved it. Loved it. We talked about it. I think it's good. And
I think it's going to be the Oscar movie. That's going to be
You think one. It's going to be the one that sweeps?
I don't know if it'll sweep. It'll definitely get a couple. I think it'll get writing... directing and acting.
And the thing, like, to anyone who's seen this, as I said, I think in last week's episode, is read the Time Person of the Year, if you can. It came out a couple weeks ago with Mark Zuckerberg. Because that really sort of, to hear his take on the movie, and he's not like, oh, it sucked and wrong. He just was like, they just sort of broad-stroked a couple places where you know, he said in this article, he was like, we weren't making this to meet girls. I mean, yeah, we're college guys that wanted to meet girls, but we knew we were on to something. We were sitting here in college going, let's change. This could change everything. Like, that's how they were thinking when they were designing Facebook, you know? So that's the movie I really like.
Even if they painted him a complete villain, do you think how upset would he possibly be?
Because of shit.
Yeah. I'm gonna relax on my pile of money.
Yeah, you know, I'm worth $6 billion. Yeah. I mean, Facebook is valued at $50 billion.
They could have put a Hitler mustache on Jesse Eisenberg. He wouldn't have given a shit.
Put a swastika on his forehead like Manson, and he would be like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, you know, you broad stroked it, but...
Did you see that?
Yeah, I really dug it.
Yeah. I thought Aaron Sorkin did a great job with the script for starters, and then...
Yeah, it's pretty Sorkin-y.
Yeah, it's real Sorkin-y. I mean, that's
it's like a Tarantino film where everybody has that voice. Mm-hmm. But Tarantino's one of those guys that I allow that. You know? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, everybody does talk like you in your movies. But I felt that about this thing, but I really enjoyed it.
We grabbed stuff from the transcripts, too, the court transcripts.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he did. He took a lot of dialogue from the court's transcripts. But
it has that pacing. Like, the entire movie has the pacing.
West Wing kind of thing.
You hear him in your head, you know. But the performances, I thought, were really, really great. And, like, people that, like, you know, people have been talking about Justin Timberlake for the last couple of years and, like, that Alpha Dog thing. I thought, oh, that was...
It's okay.
Okay. But this thing...
Well, you didn't expect that from him, an Alpha Dog, with Justin Timberlake. That's why I kind of caught you off guard. I'm like, oh, he kind of can act.
Right, but everybody was talking about it. Like, oh, you got to see it. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't blown away by Alpha Dog or his performance. But this thing, I thought...
I know.
There was a point where I had to ask the person next to me, like, that's Timberlake, right? Like, because he was so, like, immersed. He was so that part where at one point I was like, I don't see the boy band asshole that I could give a shit about, you know, this pop singer who, you know, I already have resentment when somebody like that comes on the screen. And I didn't see, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't see that when I saw
when they're bringing sexy back.
I couldn't give a shit about that dude.
Right.
You know? But this, totally immersed.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing I'll say about Timberlake, while I've never been a fan of his music, he has a sense of humor about himself, which I like. And then Alpha Dog, okay. I mean, he's kind of playing a, you know, white tough guy wannabe gangster. So, okay, that's sort of what he's doing musically anyway sometimes, which is why I liked it, but
wasn't he the little kid in his band? He wasn't the Donnie Wahlberg. He wasn't the tough guy. With the
kid. He wasn't the Lance Bass.
But whatever, you know what I mean? If he's going to do that kind of music, there's just an air of like, yeah, I could street dance, you know?
Yeah,
like,
but he wasn't the tough Boston kid. They're from like Florida and shit.
Just outside of Orlando. But I agree, like he played this like, oh man, this guy that's like, oh, he's so amazing. He's so amazing. Oh, he's a cokehead. Fuck up. Oh, okay. That was like, it was these fast talkers are usually have some Achilles heel. And I really like the film. I liked it a lot.
Piranha.
But DVD. Oh. Now, is Social Network something you're going to watch next year and you're going to watch 6 months from now and you're going to want to own on DVD? Or is it something that you go, that was a good movie? And because most Oscar movies, I don't watch them all the time. You know what I mean? With the exception of like The Godfather, or, you know, a couple of 70s Oscar films.
Certain ones I will watch a lot. Certain ones.
I don't even think it has to do with Oscars. It's like certain movies resonate with you more, whether they're Oscar or not. You're going to watch them over and over.
For me, like the most watchable movie, you know, the DVD that I've watched probably more than any is like Die Hard. Because that to me, I can just put it on. I know where it goes. I've seen it a million times, but I still enjoy watching it. Oscar films, I don't really feel like that. Like they have that much rewatchability, if that makes sense.
And you got to be in the mood for them because a lot of them have like an emotional kind of investment to them, especially dramas.
To me, there's certain Oscar performances that I want to watch over and over again. Right. I've watched Castaway a bunch of times just because Tom Hanks alone on that island for me just like did something. I just watched a couple weeks ago. I watched Benjamin Button again. Because I was like, I really resonated with me in the theater, but I wanted to see it again. Like, did I just get caught up in it? But I like David Fincher, so I
saw. Did you like it again the second time?
I did like it again the second time, and I think Social Network, because Facebook, I mean, it's like one of these it's you know, pre-Beatles, post-Beatles America. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that is going to define us and our society for a long time. Like, remember before Facebook? It's like, remember before 9/11 when you could meet your friend at the gate? When they, you know what I mean? It's like, it's stuff like that. Like, and so to me, I will probably watch this movie again just for the social reference point of it. To me, and I like the performances, and I like Jesse Eisenberg, you know, finally like playing a part where he's not like, I don't know what to do, where he's like, no, fuck you, I'm smarter than you, shut up, you know what I mean? Like, it was, I really liked him, I liked the film a lot, so.
So, next movie, speaking of horror movies, Piranha. Neil actually liked this movie, and a good use of 3D, apparently, but the DVD, not in 3D. So they're not releasing a lot of these movies in 3D now. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to sell you 3D movies, 3D TVs, and then they're going to release...
They're going
to
re-release
the actual 3D versions of these movies, which is shitty. And also, I don't know how good Piranha is going to be if it's not in 3D. Like, do you really want to watch stuff not coming at you?
The whole point of this movie was wacky 3D movie, like an old school 70s style 3D.
Crazy death scenes and blood, tits,
so
everything.
I don't see why, like... I'd rather watch The Social Network again than why would I, you know.
Did you see Piranha? Just go,
yes, I did.
What do you think of it?
Rather watch the Corman version. Rather watch the original on DVD, which I own.
Now, did you see it in 3D?
Yeah, I did. And I thought that was funny and reminded me of, I think the only horror film from the 80s that did that is Friday the 13th Part 3. 3D, where it's, I thought it delivered that kind of thing of, oh, let's drink in the parking lot and go in and watch stuff.
Right, exactly.
You know? Exactly.
Everything from boobs to gore.
That's why you would see this movie and why it also, I mean,
it's going to lose a lot on DVD and not in 3D.
I guess if down the road, if the 3D television technology actually gets there, because it's not there now, it's bullshit.
No, and you don't need it. You have a Blu-ray and 3D glasses, it actually looks okay for 3D. You don't need a separate television.
When the technology gets there to where a 3D TV is a really cool thing, maybe you'd get this DVD to do that. Like, just drink with your buddies and watch it. You know what I mean? But, all right.
No one saw this next movie. I'd be very surprised if you saw this next movie.
I was kind of disappointed by Piranha 3D because I felt like with a better script, they could have taken advantage of the people they got.
Yeah, they got...
Like, they got some great people.
Ving Rhames,
like, Adam Scott is fucking awesome in everything he does. Elizabeth Shue, I've had a boner for her since 1988. And, you know...
Not that boy from Reseda.
Yeah, she's awesome. And she could have been better if the script was better. And, like... I don't know why they all signed on to it.
It's going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
They get to go to Havasu. Yeah.
But anyway.
Don't want to pay for vacation.
All right, this next movie, Alpha and Omega.
Yeah, it's just an animated wolf movie trying to cash in on the animated family money. But even kids are like, I'm not seeing this movie. Opening this week, Green Hornet.
Oh,
let's talk about this movie.
Who does the voices to the wolves?
That I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I didn't know anything about this
movie. Assuming they talk.
Yes, of course.
Who'd want to watch a fucking animal unless it talks like us, right?
Yeah, but like, he thinks it's people.
Yeah. I don't want to watch an animal run around being an animal. I want to watch an animal that likes, like, pop songs.
And talks.
And does
martial arts.
And has human problems.
Eats the same food as us.
Has a cool iPhone.
Feels left out.
Yes.
Can drive a car. All right.
Get along in the pack. Opening this with Green Hornet. We've talked about this ad nauseum, and we even said, like, if Seth, in another universe, Seth Rogen is going, wow, what a horrible casting choice for a superhero movie.
I have a theory on this movie.
I think it looks so horrible. It looks so bad. And every trailer is worse than the last that it's actually going to be a good movie. I think it's going to get RoboCopped. I think I think
it looks so stupid.
It looks so stupid that when the movie comes out, I think it's actually going to be better than we think it is. Now
I agree. I'm starting to feel that. Like in trailers, I'm like, I think I might wind up liking this. And one of the things that I like Seth Rogen. I like everything he's done so far. Mm-hmm. And
I like him too, but not. I don't see him as a superhero.
Well, right. But maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they are putting an everyman into, you know, and that's part of the fun, mm-hmm. which is, you know, what Kick-Ass was.
So I'm
that
gonna,
kid is not a superhero either. Right.
No, but again, but this is a Kick-Ass. And yes, that's what made Kick-Ass great. But this is a Green Hornet. This is a pre-existing thing. Now, granted, I'm a Bruce Lee
right,
fan.
Right, but they threw everything out the window.
I know.
Everything, so, yeah. except so the name Kato. Yeah.
I'm already, like, you know, Bruce Lee. I don't know. Like, this is my Bruce Lee thing. So I it's hard for me to let that go. But I just, again, I like Seth Rogen. I think he's funny. You know, I don't know that I buy him as a rich kid playboy. That you know, in the beginning in the trailer where they show him, oh, he doesn't give a shit about it. I don't buy him as that. I don't buy him as a.
Well,
as
now
that.
He's a giant movie star, so he is like a rich young guy.
Yeah, but
I'm hoping I'm right. I'm just afraid I'm wrong. I'm afraid it's as bad as it looks. Yeah. But I think it's going to be. It might surprise everybody. I'm hoping.
All right.
Their Carl's Jr. commercials are hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. They're on a crossover with burgers.
Oh, is it Carl's Jr. or Burger King? Whatever.
Can you get Green Hornet glasses?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is just one of those movies where they made the toys and the hamburgers before they wrote a script.
Yeah,
like,
but every once in a while, those movies still are okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So, okay, so let's see if this movie defies all possible odds and it's good. Yeah. Because
prove
it's
me
got.
Wrong. You know what I mean? Wrong. I would love to come out of this movie going, I loved it. Seth Rogen was great.
Yeah,
I would love to say that.
Because this movie has everything against it, from the casting to the trailers, I think it's going to pull a 180. So we'll see.
All right. What's next?
The Dilemma. The Dilemma will not pull a 180.
What is that movie?
This is the Vince Vaughn, Kevin, what's his name?
Oh, yeah,
movie.
Kevin James
movie. Looks, yeah.
I feel so bad for him.
This movie
That's
is going to be.
How you say his name. Kevin James.
It's going to be just as dumb as it looks.
I like Vince Vaughn. I'm a Chicago
what about
guy.
Kevin James.
Oh, God. I just. Oh.
How do you feel about Kevin James?
So, who do you like
Let me
more?
Guess. Is he going to bump into something? Yeah. Is he going to clump around and be clumsy? Is that going to happen?
Graham,
is he going to go, nope, and his pants won't button?
Graham, who do you like more, Vince Vaughn or Kevin James?
and then why? Okay, the premise of the movie I kind of like. I was like, all right, what would you do? Yeah, everybody, what would
is
you do?
Is that what it is? It's a guy sees his buddy's girlfriend making out with some
yes.
other dude.
Yeah, right? And does he you? Tell him or not?
Why does he have to fall into fucking plants that give him high? Why does that have to happen?
That happens in so many broad comedies now. Allergies. Allergies are fucking hilarious.
Like, where's Katherine Heigl? Is she going to bump into something and fall? Yeah, what the fuck?
Because you have a five-minute premise that needs to be stretched to 90 minutes.
What was the first comedy, broad comedy that had the dumb allergy thing? Was it
Mad Mad World?
Do they have a stupid allergy gag?
It has to be in that movie.
Well, Along Comes Polly, I'm thinking of. What other movie has done the big, like, oh, you shouldn't have eaten that. Boy, that's going to ruin this date.
I'll be fine. Oh, party. My teeth are turning green.
Oh, you know what? Blind Date.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
with what's his name?
The
old Blind Date. The one with Bruce Willis.
Right.
When he's like, I can't drink alcohol.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Blind Date. Oh, what's her name? Can't drink and she becomes crazy.
Right. Uh-huh. I'm telling you. Oh, just have one.
Yeah, they gremlined her.
Right.
They gave her a gremlin action.
Yeah. They gremlined her. Nice.
Well, I think they gremlin Kevin James in this movie. Don't fall onto a plant. That'll make your face fat and stupid.
I think he fell into that plant a long time ago. All right. Barney's version. I want to see this. It looks interesting.
Looks good.
Looks really good.
I just
I
looked
know
at the trailer.
About it.
It's the Paul Giamatti one where he's a real he's a Hollywood asshole, I think. And he hits on a a girl at his own wedding, and then he pursues. That's one of the things he does. He pursues her.
My impression of, I think also, but it's sort of like a book comes out about him, about his whole life.
Yeah, he goes back on his whole life of being a cad.
And it sort of goes back on how much of a shithead he was. And
it's
I
on
think,
the stack at home, but I didn't know anything about it.
They
so
did a limited release. They did literally like they released it for a week in Beverly Hills to try to get Oscar consideration.
And that's like Bernie's version is like his version of the book that talks about how
and now
shitty
it's
he
going
is.
Well. Oh, okay. It looks great. It looks like a great Paul Giamatti movie where. You know, instead of playing the like schlubby guy, he's like an asshole. It's like,
is it a comedy though?
Yeah,
yeah,
oh, it is.
Yeah, it looks good. I want to see it for sure.
Dustin Hoffman's in it.
Did you see Invention of Lying last year? It kind of reminds me
Ricky Gervais.
Well, I mean, of like a small comedy. Is that kind of the tone?
Yeah,
or,
it's
or small. It's smart comedy, not like
it's smarter. But I think
he doesn't fall on plants and get an allergy. Yeah. Right. He doesn't get gremlined.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It feels like it's just you guys talking about. It feels like that kind of.
It feels more like an the best way to describe it. Feels more like an indie comedy.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
Which
looks really good. Like he said, Paul Giamatti, Dustin Hoffman's in it. My God, your phone's going off.
What
an asshole.
Your ringer is like...
What is your ringer? It's thrash metal. You're such a jackass.
Is that Slayer?
No.
It's Pantera. What is it?
Exodus.
Nice. They're the thinking man's testament.
Well, my ring... Wow. You guys just have a metal nerd off right there. You just went into toe-to-toe metal nerds. I liked it. Well, I can't make my ringtone is the Hawaii 5-0 theme.
Of course it is.
Why wouldn't it be?
All right. Well, that's our show. Let's get into wrap it up. We want to thank our guest Brian Posehn. Brian,
yes.
What do you got coming up? What do you want to promote? Where can people get a hold of you online?
Bunch of stand up. I'm going everywhere. Any stupid town you live in, probably coming there.
Everybody out there in stupid towns, buckle up.
To yell about dicks and farts into a microphone.
So where can they get your tour dates?
BrianPosehn.com and then Twitter at TheBrianPosehn. And somebody just gave me shit on Twitter this week, like, was there a real Brian Posehn or was there a Brian Posehn before you called yourself The Brian Posehn or are you just a douchebag? And I'm like, somebody had a Brian Posehn first. And I had
Did
to
they
say,
fit that in?
They're not. I am. The. Yeah, they
could
did
you have
that
just
in 140 characters.
Yeah. What if you just put a Brian Posehn?
Yeah, that's better.
And then are you on Facebook as well? They can get a hold of you there?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
And starting Brian the new Posehn. Season of Metalocalypse you were talking about.
Hopefully going back to work in March.
Awesome.
To write some new episodes.
And you have a new CD that came out, right?
Came out last year, yeah. Fart and also Wiener Jokes. This is called Fart and Wiener Jokes, but I love saying it still.
And that's available on your website, BrianPosehn.com?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
And Amazon.com.
If you get DVDs of the Sarah Silverman program, you can watch Brian and me playing cop number two in one episode and paramedic number one in the other.
Perfect.
I can't believe we didn't win Academy or whatever the Emmys for those.
Emmys.
I should have won one for cop number two. It's bullshit. I got robbed.
Yeah, you got promoted from the first episode.
All right, well, that's our show. So what do we got plugged? I will be in Barstow this Saturday, which
Ooh, hello.
Is, yeah, fucking Barstow, suck it, which
Jesus.
Is the 15th.
Halfway to Vegas.
Halfway to Vegas with Doug Benson, and then Doug and I are also be in Jacksonville on January 18th, Gainesville on the 19th, and Orlando on the 20th, and then on from the 21st to the 31st, I'll be in the Middle East doing a USO tour, bizniches. So if you're
Playing a rock club in Orlando, right?
Yeah.
What's the name of the place?
God, I forget.
I did it last year. I saw that you guys had the same. It's great gig.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I had a blast.
Cool.
Rock clubs are the fucking.
They're
way
great.
To go.
I love doing rock clubs, man.
The way to go.
Yeah, they're awesome. There's no bachelorette parties. There's no married couples that are like, who's this on stage? Shut the fuck them out.
Or old ladies don't just like walk in going, that sign was bright outside.
Yeah.
That's what made me come in.
It looks dark in here.
So if you're in Florida, Kuwait, or Iraq, come by one of the shows.
Those places are pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, Henry Phillips' new movie, Punching the Clown, which is great. We've been talking about it. Chris and I have both seen it. Many comics that you...
signed copies here.
Signed copies here.
Only place you can get the DVDs
only
here.
Only place you can get the signed DVDs here. I think that's it.
Oh, and I'll be in Lake Tahoe this week.
Oh, yeah.
The 12th through the 18th at Harvey's in Lake Tahoe. It's one show a night, 9 o'clock. And come on by.
Come on by.
And as always, I have my book. We actually sold out, but we're getting more in. Pacify Me, Handbook for the Freaked Out New Dad. And I will sign and personalize that for you.
Outstanding. So thanks again to our guest, Brian Posehn.
Thanks, fellas. That was fun.
I was waiting for a wacky voice. I thought you came in with a real voice.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
Thanks, Brian. Well,
thanks, Brian. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini.
Remember,
Han shot first. Nerd.